What am I willing to do to go get it? I push things aside just to go get it. I know my role and I play my position. You talking too much, please learn how to listen. I never give up, I'm not quitting.
Welcome back to the YI Network, where we interview every job occupation A through Z, from the trash man to the CEO, and ask them why and how they started their profession so that you can find your dream job too. I'm your host, Kojo Thompson, and today we have a very special guest with us. It is Matthew Grishman. Now, Matthew is a financial advisor who says it took him nearly two decades to realize that his purpose in life is to help people, not to make as much money as he possibly could. So he believes that financial services is an incredible industry to have massive impact on lives of others, especially if you're willing to be vulnerable and real. So Matthew has a lot to share with us here today. So Matthew, shall I proceed?
Yes, indeed.
All right, Matthew, how are we feeling today?
Oh, feeling fantastic. Thank you, Kojo. I appreciate you having me here today.
And Matthew, I appreciate having you on here today because we need a lot more people like you on the podcast who are going to just go ahead and give us the truth, uncut and raw. And I know that you are going to unpack and give us exactly that here today. So I'm going to go ahead and have to ask the question that we all have been waiting for. Drum roll, please. And that is, why, Matthew, why did you become a financial advisor?
Kojo, initially, because I wanted to be rich. That was why I initially wanted to do it. Mm. I mean, Wall Street was the place to make money. And when I was 16 years old, I saw this girl that I fell in love with, but I didn't think that there was any way she'd ever want this guy. Mm. I never felt good enough. I had self-esteem issues as a young kid. So the only way I could feel good about myself was if I was able to go out and make as much money as I possibly could, then I'd get this girl. I'd become her hero if I could buy her anything she wanted. Mm. And then I could look in the mirror and feel good about myself. Mm. So just in the spirit of transparency, I went to Wall Street so that I could become rich. I wanted the money. Mm. And I'll tell you, Kojo, it took a long time of chasing that money, trying to get what I wanted so that I could get that girl and feel good about myself. And by the time I was in my early 30s, that had actually happened. Mm. I was at the top of the profession. I was making lots of money. Mm. I had all this cool stuff that girl was on my arm. Mm. And I started occasionally feeling good about myself when I would look in the mirror. Mm. But what started to happen was all of that money, all of the stuff, all of the experiences, the satisfaction I would get from that was temporary. Mm. I would feel good for a little bit, but something never quite felt in alignment inside of me. Mm. It was almost like my outsides and my insides were disconnected. And what happened over time, and there's a lot more to this part of the story, but for the sake of time, what ultimately happened was that self-interest nearly destroyed me. Mm. It nearly destroyed the three most important relationships I have in my life. Mm. The relationship I have with my people, the relationship I have with myself, and the relationship I have with money. Mm. I mean, you wouldn't think those three relationships go together, but let me tell you, my friend, when one of those relationships gets out of whack, it can really mess up the other ones. And for me, coming into this business to chase money nearly destroyed all of those relationships and left me in a place where I was completely hopeless and wanted to take my own life.
Wow.
But what happened going through that was that I began to realize that maybe I'm part of something much bigger than me. Mm. And maybe, just maybe, my purpose in life is to actually get out there and be helpful to people. Mm. And so there were a series of events that happened that I began to go through this journey where I started shifting my thought process and my belief system around why I was doing what I was doing. And so now, if you were to ask me why have I since become the financial advisor that I am today, It's so that I can go out and take my skills and my talents and my unique ability, my superpowers, and go out and help other people. Mm. And by being vulnerable and open and telling the truth about my own journey with money, it seems to connect with people when they're in that place in life where, in effect, life intersects some kind of major change that throws them into a state of transition, a period of limbo, mm. where there's a bunch of money involved and they don't know what to do. To be able to share my story really helps open people up and feel safe to where they can come talk to me about what's really going on in their lives, and we can help them take that first step in moving forward. It's become an incredibly fulfilling thing to have in my life, to be helpful to people, to be so involved in some of their darkest hours and helping them just take that first step moving forward with their finances. It's awesome.
I love it. I love it. I absolutely loved that answer right there. Couldn't have said it better myself. But here's what I want from you, Matthew. Right now, you're at the top of the totem pole. You're where everybody wants to be. Take us back to day one, step one, the bottom of that totem pole. What yeah. was your process like that got you here today?
Wow. That's a great question. That's there's a lot to unpack there. Mm. The process for me to get to where I am today was I really had to start. Well, if you think about where I was, right? I had these three very complicated relationships. Mm-hmm. I was chasing money so that I could take care of my people mm-hmm. so that I would feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. And where that got me was a place where I was overdrawn on my bank account, maxed mm-hmm. out on my credit cards. Mm-hmm. I had zero purchasing power. My back was against the wall. Mm-hmm. And I found myself driving up a freeway about to turn head on into a big semi truck coming my way mm-hmm. on purpose. Mm. And I'm grateful that day my hands froze on the steering wheel, because I knew at that point it couldn't be the end of my story. I knew I needed help. And fortunately for me, there was this stranger that I met. See, Kojo, I couldn't tell anybody I knew the truth mm. because on the outside, I was a rock star. Mm. But if I were to tell the truth to anybody I knew, I was convinced that I'd be ruined. Mm. But there was this stranger that I had met. He was a financial advisor. Mm. He was a client of mine mm-hmm. as I was working for some of the big Wall Street firms. And I met this guy and I thought, you know, there's something different about this guy that I could actually maybe go in and tell him a little bit of my truth and maybe get some help so that I can get out of this thing, mm-hmm. so that I can get out of this mess. I took the risk and I went to see him. Mm. And when I told him my story of where I was, I really expected him to tell me, this is what you should have done. This is what you could have done. But instead, that's not what he did. Mm. He expressed something to me I'd never felt from another man at that point. Mm. He looked at me after telling my story to him and he said, wow, that had to be really hard to live that way. Mm. And it completely caught me off guard. Wait, what's going on here? I'm with a financial guy. And what's this empathy stuff he's expressing mm. right now? Mm. Right. I've never felt this before. Mm-hmm. And it was through that moment, it was like a miracle. Something from the heavens kind of came down in that moment and just opened my heart up mm. to where I felt understood and listened to. And then what this guy said to me next is what completely changed the direction of my life and got me moving in the direction of where I am today. Mm. And what he said to me was, he said, Matthew, I think I understand what's happening here. You chase money to get the girl so you'd feel good about yourself. Mm. What would happen if we could just reimagine for a minute reversing the sequence of those three relationships and how you were living your life? Mm. And what I mean by that is what if we could start with that relationship with self and give you a process for how to start unconditionally accepting yourself for who you are mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. and start moving towards this place of perhaps even developing some unconditional, wait for it, love for yourself.
Oh my goodness.
Right. Right. and he kept going. He said, if you're able to do that for you, is it possible then you could actually give your people what it is they really need from you? Which I wow. think by now you figured out isn't money and stuff, mm. but it's that same unconditional acceptance and love. And if you're able to do that for yourself and for your people, I predict your relationship with money is going to get a lot simpler. So the fact that I could actually conceive of potentially just reverse engineering the direction that I was going in life and the way I saw things, he opened my mind up to new possibilities. And what happened at that point was as I began to heal that relationship with myself and Kojo, there were specific actions he had me take to start developing that unconditional acceptance of who I was, flaws and all, right? I had to learn how to be okay with the dark side of who I was, some of the bad choices that I've made in my life. And as soon as I was able to integrate that into me and be okay with it, it was like a snowball that started to happen. And just over time, I started feeling this incredible pull to want to just show up and be helpful to people. Because now that I felt good in my own skin for the first time, I felt confident. I had my feet underneath me. I felt like, hey man, I'm worthy. I possess some skills and some talents that could really help people. And just over time, with a lot of intentional action, I was able to get to a place where when I show up every day, my only intention for the day is to have the universe put people in my path who need my help. And if I show up and be helpful, things tend to work out okay. Sometimes I get paid for being helpful, Kojo. Sometimes I don't get paid for being helpful. And that's okay. I'm not attached to that outcome. I'm not attached to the next person I meet has to become a paying client of my firm. No. The next person I meet has to be somebody that I can be helpful to. And perhaps the outcome might lead them to becoming a client one day. But the minute I learn to detach from that outcome and just show up and be helpful, my relationship with money completely changed. I mean, there was a time, Kojo, I was at the very, very top of the financial food chain in my industry. And there was a time I was at the very, very bottom of the financial food chain. Realistically, I'm probably somewhere in the middle right now, as far as the actual income that I earn and, and the wealth that I have financially in my life. But with that said, I feel wealthier than I've ever felt in my entire life.
And now, for those of you who felt like that was poetry and that Matthew needs to write a book immediately, don't worry. At the end of this podcast, we are going to share Matthew's book and his podcast, because honestly, that last piece, that last answer right there was absolute poetry. And I wish that every guest on my podcast explained themselves the way that Matthew just came on here and explained himself like that. Let me tell y'all something real, real quick before I move on to this next question. For any of those young men out there right now who have a crush on that, the prettiest girl in school right now, and you think that you're not enough, you're personally not enough, and you need to go acquire something outside of yourself in order to gain something outside of yourself, everything you need, you already have within. And all the things that you want in life, you bring forth from within. So anything that you dream of, you can literally bring it to fruition, but it starts from within you. You must believe it, you must achieve it, and you must, it all starts from within you. Self-love is the most important love. I was just telling my girlfriend the other day, nobody can love you if you don't love yourself. So that was the most important piece of advice in life that you can get right there that Matthew just shared with you guys. But Matthew, here's what I want from you. I know I just asked you to throw it back for us, but what I want from you now is to throw it back even further than that. What were some childhood hobbies and habits that you think matriculated into what you're doing today?
Sure. That's another fantastic question. And I mean, you're starting to get to know me a little bit, Kojo. I love going deep. I love going back. The deeper and the farther back, the better. I mean, some of these are obvious, right? I mean, some of the things that I did as a kid, when I kind of reflect on my childhood, they're very obvious. And I think for our listeners today, they might connect with some of these real obvious ones. Things like playing team sports, playing a musical instrument. I spent a lot of time outdoors as a kid, kind of developing my imagination. I lived in a small town in upstate New York in the woods. So we got to build forts and play in the snow and just imagine my life and play make-believe in all of these different themes and places. And when you think about the diversity of what I got to experience as a child, it was cool because it developed all sorts of different ways to see the world and think about the world. Playing team sports kind of planted that seed as a kid that there was something more important than my accomplishments, right? Mm-hmm. There were some obvious things, but there were also some much less obvious things as far as my childhood, some of the habits and hobbies. Mm-hmm. My father's a school superintendent. To this day, he is still a school superintendent in New York State. He's been doing it for 45 years. Mm-hmm. Because of his job, we moved around a lot when I was a kid. So some of those obvious things like playing team sports and playing in the band and meeting kids and playing outside, because I moved around a lot, I met a lot of different people with a lot of differing belief systems, a lot of different ways that they saw the world. And part of why I always had some troubles with the self-esteem was I always felt less than as a kid because I didn't always seem to see the world the same way that the people in this new community saw the world. And although it took me many, many years later to connect the dots to this, what I realized was the gift in that, right? I used to resent my dad because of this. And now I've got so much gratitude in my heart to him for giving me that opportunity to meet a bunch of different people, different colors, flavors, ethnicities, just all sorts of different viewpoints on how they see the world. And what that's allowed me to do is I can now start to put myself in other people's shoes and actually try to see the world the way they see the world, not so that I can change how I believe or what I value, but just so that I can feel a deeper sense of connection with that human as another human. Especially in times like today where there's more divisiveness in our world than there's ever been, at least in my 50 years on this planet. There's more division, more separation, more kind of this tribal, I'm part of this group, you're part of that group. And I really feel like some of those childhood habits and hobbies, especially as it relates to the business that I'm in financial services, it's allowed me to have somebody walk in my office with a completely different viewpoint on how they see the world versus the way I see the world. Yet because of some of those experiences as a child, I'm very quick to not judge them for how they see the world, but rather I get curious and I like to get inside of their shoes to look through the world through their filters to try to understand why it is they see the world the way they do. Again, it doesn't change the way I see the world, but it allows me to be more empathetic. I get to breathe in their gas a little bit. And there's a trust that starts to happen where even though we may not see the same things the same way, we start realizing that as humans, we have more in common than we do what differentiates us. You can't even begin to believe the amount of progress that happens in my office as a financial advisor when you can connect with someone on that basic human level. And I credit all of that to my childhood and the things that I learned. Didn't know it then. It took a lot of growing up and a lot of life experience to be able to kind of uncover that. But if all you and I get to do today is speak to a young person's heart and help them accelerate their progress a little bit, perhaps it won't take them as long as it took me to see the gifts of some of the things that at one point I thought were happening to me. Now I see those things that happen in my childhood as very much happening for me.
I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. You will not start loving yourself until you start seeing that glass half full, guys. I know a lot of y'all are looking at y'all glasses half empty, but trust me. Trust me when I say your glass is half full and you have way more than enough than you need in order to be successful in your journey and your life and your path. And I know, Mac, you can agree with that. And Matthew, here's what I want now. I want to know what an average day for you is like today.
Sure. That's great. That's great. And I would imagine out of the 400,000 some odd financial advisors that are out there today, there are many of them who do have a fairly well-defined average day. I'm happy to say that I don't have average days. Every day is really different. And that's part of the excitement of what I do, that the wealth management work that I do from one day to the next, we have a little saying, my business partner, Jim, who, by the way, was that financial advisor who saved my bacon all those years ago. It's a pretty incredible thing to now be standing shoulder to shoulder with that man.
And shout out to Jim.
Yeah, big shout out to my partner, Jim Gebhardt. I mean, he, you know, he gave me an opportunity now to stand shoulder to shoulder with him, helping people basically the way he helped me. So it's amazing. And one of the things we always love is celebrating something, as mom always says. Well, we'll just see what the day brings. And that's really what my work life has become. Now, with that, to be prepared for that, to be prepared for a unique experience every day based on the problems, the challenges, the transitions that people are going through in life that show up, to be prepared for that, I have to develop my own routine where I have to prepare my mind, my body, my spirit for being able to show up and be able to meet people on their terms and handle whatever comes my way. So with that backdrop, what an average day looks like for me as far as what I have control over is that I'm out of bed somewhere between 5 and 5:30 a.m. every day. I don't normally have to set an alarm clock. My eyes open up and I immediately am incredibly grateful that my eyes opened up and I got another day. So I start my day with gratitude. I start my day with meditation, with quiet time. I get outside with my dogs. I get a little bit of exercise. I fill my body with some really important basic staples just to give myself a great start to my day. Water with lemon, some tea, a good meal. I generally don't show up for people until 10 o'clock in the morning. So that's, if you're doing math, that's almost 5 hours that I devote every morning to self-care,
to yourself, to me,
to making sure that I am the very best version of me showing up today. Because when I do that, when I put that kind of investment in myself, the return on that investment, the people who show up in my life get is so much greater than if I just roll out of bed hot, jump in the shower, shovel food down my throat, get to the office and come in hot for my first meeting. Now, one of the other parts to my day is in between my meetings, because I'm dealing with people in such a high emotional state and I'm breathing in their gas and I'm feeling their pain with them or feeling their celebration with them. I always build time in my day to kind of flush that so that I can be completely present for the next client. So I have some meditation stuff I do throughout the day that just helps me stay really present for the person who's right in front of me. And then probably the most important part at the end of the day is I've got this really cool family. Remember that girl I told you about that I met when I was 16 and fell in love with her? And well, that girl married me when I was 25 years old. And
I love
we're celebrating,
it. I love it.
We're celebrating 25 years of marriage this year.
It's amazing.
And so I want to be able to honor her and my boys by being able to separate my work day from being super present for my family when I get home. So I've developed this little 15 to 20 minute ritual at the end of the day where I listen to a little bit of stand-up comedy in my car ride home. And if I'm not quite ready when I get home, I sit and I laugh in my car until I'm ready. And that's the tool that I use to prepare myself to transition from giving my gifts, my talents, my unique ability, my presence and all my heart to my clients, to then being able to do that for my family. And the key for me to doing that is 20 minutes of just laugh out loud, pee your pants, rolling around in the car, belly laughter. So, you know, I wish I could tell you my day was average or there was kind of a, they all kind of look this way, but man, they're all different. And what I try to do is build some consistency into helping me show up and be as useful as possible, if that makes sense.
And again, I can tell from everybody who is listening to this right now, the underlining theme here with all the Matthew's answers are literally, you have to, in order to love your life, you got to just love yourself first. That's literally it. That's literally it, guys. Stop loving all that stuff on the outside and start loving yourself. And I promise you will start loving your life, because the only person living your life is you. So you might as well love yourself. So let's go ahead and move on to this next question. Matthew, again, been answering these questions absolutely perfectly. What do you enjoy the most about what you do?
Oh, thank you for asking that. Mm-hmm. Probably the favorite part of what I do is there are a couple of parts to this very unique financial planning process that my business partner, Jim, and I have created. Mm-hmm. We have a financial planning process that we've kind of trademarked and really crafted as our own. And it's called the Wealth Formation Experience. Mm-hmm. And it truly is that. It's an experience. Mm-hmm. And people come into our factory, so to speak, confused, overwhelmed, stuck. They're not sure how to move forward. There's money involved. Mm-hmm. And they go through a number of steps in this wealth formation experience to come out the other side mm-hmm. with a whole bunch of clarity. They can now see the light and where they're going. Mm-hmm. They've got a renewed sense of confidence mm-hmm. in their ability to love themselves, have a healthy relationship with money. And mm-hmm. they develop this renewed sense of capability of being able to make good financial decisions in their life. Mm-hmm. Well, in part of that process, we have a piece in the beginning that we take people through called the Clarity Compass. Mm-hmm. And it's part of our wealth formation experience where, in effect, we play a card game with our clients mm-hmm. where we sit down with a bunch of these concepts to try to pull out from them what their core personal values are. And the whole purpose in doing that is to pull the things out of them that really mean the most to them, the people, mm-hmm. the places, the experiences. Mm-hmm. And then we watch them start to align their money with these values mm-hmm. and their finances start becoming in support of these values. The coolest part of my job and what I enjoy the most is watching the light come on mm-hmm. in someone's eyes at the end of that process, when all of a sudden now they start to see how they can start developing the wealth they truly need to support the things that are most important to them. That's the coolest part of my job is having that conversation and really being able to hold a mirror up in front of a client, not necessarily giving them the answer, right? I'm called a financial advisor. Mm. What I really should be called is a financial blind spotter because I'm really rarely ever giving somebody advice. Mm. When they ask me a question, I'm generally holding a mirror up with that clarity compass and asking them, well, is the answer there? How do you feel about this? If you have a big financial decision to make, we go back to these tools and these conversations and let the client kind of search inside of them for that answer. So being able to hold up that mirror and watch them develop this unbelievable sense of confidence of being able to find those answers from within, I think that's a much bigger gift to empower people to make great decisions than it is for me to just give them an answer, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the absolute favorite part of my job is just helping people feel that sense of empowerment and kind of watching that light come on, watching them have a whole new sense of clarity and direction and purpose as it relates to their relationship with money. It's awesome.
I absolutely loved that answer right there, Matthew. But unfortunately, the back end of that question is, what do you enjoy the least?
Yes. As much as I love what I do, like to the point that it's hard to think that what I do is work. There are some things I don't particularly enjoy. Mm-hmm. I don't like talking on the phone. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I do not like that my job requires a lot of is talking on the phone. Mm-hmm. I would much rather have a person in front of me so I can see their body language. I can see how they're feeling. I can feel how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. It's harder for me to do that on the phone. Mm-hmm. Granted, we've got this cool thing called Zoom now where we could kind of make the phone call a somewhat in-person call. So that helps a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's part of the job I don't like very much. But the part about my job that I like the least, and I'm getting better at this, but the part I like the least is telling my clients the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. I don't mean telling them the truth in what I'm doing for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, telling them their truth. Mm-hmm. When I see a client, I've got clients who have substantial financial assets. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I have a client who's just like me, somebody who used to use money to fill this incredibly huge hole in their soul, mm-hmm. right? Filling it up with stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's really hard to tell clients what they need to hear versus what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because my little ego, Kojo, wants you to like me. And my ego gets in the way of sometimes me doing what is actually unconditional love, which is telling my client that their behavior is dangerous and they're no longer on track to retire comfortably because of these behaviors that they've chosen to have. Mm-hmm. That's really hard for me because I want to be liked and I don't want them to not like me anymore.
Mm.
But on this journey, I've started to realize that sometimes unconditional love is really different from like. Mm. And sometimes I have to, whether it's my children that I'm parenting, my spouse, my clients, sometimes I have to love them enough that it's okay that they hate me for a while.
Mm, tough love.
Yeah. Tough love is one of the hardest things. And I'll tell you, with my clients who I have really close relationships with, I got to really work hard at checking my ego at the door and showing up and being prepared to tell them the truth when they're not doing what they need to be doing to have a healthy relationship with money. That's really hard stuff for me sometimes.
The number one thing that will hold everybody back is caring about what somebody else thinks about you. Keep that in mind, everybody listening to this podcast right now. The number one thing that will ever hold you back is caring about what somebody else thinks about you. As long as you're good and you love the way that you are, regardless of what anybody thinks, you will love your life. And I promise you that Matthew is giving you guys perfect pieces of advice. And I'm going to have to ask you my favorite question. And that is, do you think that grades mattered in school for the success that you have in your career today?
No, they really don't.
Mm.
But.
And we interrupt this programming with a word from our sponsors. Now, a lot of people ask me, Kojo, you've helped me figure out how to do this, that, and the other, but what about starting my own podcast like you? Well, I'm finally sharing my secret. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world by hitting our affiliate link down below. Now, don't miss out on this limited time offer. Sign up and live your dream job too. Now back to the podcast.
I mean, if I think back to the grades I got in school, I was kicked out of college after my junior year.
Mm-hmm.
I failed out of college after junior year. Mm-hmm. Now, I went to community college. I got back into school. I finished college. But my grades, I was a B and C student my whole life. And here I sit today, really successful in my business in a sense that I get to really connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, although grades didn't really matter from a standpoint of, did I get an A, did I get a B, did I get a C, they did matter from a standpoint of, I had to pass my classes and I had to have an education just to be able to enter this industry that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the big firms in our industry that are willing to train you and teach you how this industry works, how money works, what's a stock, what's a bond, what's a mutual fund, what's life insurance, what are annuities, what are ETFs, what's crypto, right? All of those knowledge-based things, for me to be able to get aligned with a firm that was willing to teach that all to me, I had to have a college degree. I had to have a piece of paper that said, I went through the exercise of getting a degree. Now, is it possible that somebody can come into this business without a college degree? Sure. Is it a much harder road? Absolutely. Will you get the kind of knowledge and information on your own that you would a big institution could possibly teach you? Not so much. So I would say that grades didn't matter as far as whether I got A's or B's, but it mattered that I was educated. I've always talked to my boys that your success in life, your ability to connect with people, the size of your paycheck is all directly correlated to the size of your vocabulary.
Mm.
So get educated, learn how to communicate with people, both in writing as well as the spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
And you need schooling. And the way to do that is to find coursework that connects with you, right? Do you have to be an economics major to be in financial services? Absolutely not.
Mm.
Do you need to take business classes to own an independent financial services firm like I do? Mm. You don't. I never took a business class in college, yet I'm a business owner with a very profitable business.
Mm.
But I'm also smart enough to know that I don't know all the ins and outs of how to run a business, so I need to hire people who can help me do that. But at the end of the day, I was a political science major who was fascinated by the political world we live in. And I used that platform and I used that education, even though I didn't get all A's and B's, there was something in that education that, again, taught me, much like my childhood did, how to put myself in somebody else's shoes and view the world the way they view the world so that I could better understand them and better connect to them as a human being. So I know that's not so much a cut and dry black and white yes or no answer.
Mm-hmm.
Education is important. Being able to communicate and learning how to connect with people is important. Mm-hmm. Whether you get an A or B on that, I don't feel is as valuable as the knowledge and the connection with other people that you get by really investing in an education for yourself, if that makes sense.
I love it. I love it. I absolutely loved that answer right there. Couldn't have answered it better myself. Now, I'm going to break down this next question just a little bit, just because this word I feel gets tossed around a little willy-nilly. And that is, what do you feel that your impact is? And when I say impact, I mean, what are you devoted to? What is your devotion?
My devotion is helping people.
Mm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at money, Kojo, it is the source of so much conflict in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's the source of so much conflict in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have divorce rates in our country now, damn near 50%, half of all families are breaking apart in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And a huge contributor to that is the conflict around money. Where I get to have a massive impact, and I'm with you. The word's becoming cliche. It's being used so much, but I'm still going to use it and say where I get to have impact is that I get to be a healing source for those conflicts. I get to bring people into my office who are in very different places, on the brink of divorce, on the brink of disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And through the work I get to do, because I get to play Switzerland, right? I'm the neutral party in the middle who doesn't have skin in the game with either one person. But because I can create that trust between the people with me, I get to help them work on renewing this relationship with money that gets to help them renew that relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's amazing to sit in my office. I'm thinking of a couple right now, and I'll leave their names out of it. We'll call them Betty and Tom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Betty and Tom were sitting in my office, and the first time they came in, they sat miles apart from each other, married 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
They've got enough money that they could live for 8 lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yet every time she'd go to fill in the blank big box store and spend $200, he'd lose his mind over it. And they kept cutting each other off. And they were very much on the brink of disaster in their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And one day after them interrupting each other a bunch, I asked for a timeout. And I looked at Bob, I think that's what I called him, Tom maybe. And I asked him, I said, you know, Tom, could you just share for a minute what money was like growing up as a kid for you? And he shared this story about what it was like growing up in South San Francisco, really poor, living in a tiny little house where he had to share a bed with three of his brothers. And it was incredible to watch his wife, just watch him tell this story. And she looked at him and said, 30 years of marriage, and I've never heard that story before. Oh my, that must have been really hard. And it was so cool to facilitate that kind of empathetic connection mm-hmm. through this conversation about money. Mm-hmm. And now when they come into my office, they sit next to each other and they hold hands and they don't mm-hmm. cut each other off anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It just to be able to have that kind of impact where literally it feels like at times I'm in a life and death kind of business. I mean, Kojo, I was that guy that because I was broke and I didn't feel like I was worthy of my family anymore, I felt for a moment in time that my family was better off with my life insurance policy than they ever were with me being around. Because of money, I was facing taking my own life. So I look at my impact in this business as being an incredible source for healing that relationship that people have with money and how that trickles over into other parts of their life. It's almost like the butterfly effect, right? The butterfly flaps his wings in the Amazon. And next thing you know is there's a tidal wave in the Pacific. I mean, I believe these little acts that we can do as financial advisors to help people strengthen their relationship with money could have a generational impact long after I'm long gone of some significant family wealth that was created the right way because of the little tiny conversations, the little butterfly effect we have here in our office. It's so cool.
I absolutely loved that answer. Dope. Please, man. Y'all really need to be taking these notes, man. Y'all really need to be taking these notes. I hope all of you guys are listening. And I really hope that all of you guys are realizing throughout this interview, again, I'm going to say it again, that it's all about you. It's not about this stuff on the outside. Trust me. It's all about you. I've seen it happen so many times. Disaster happened so many times. This world we're living in is so bad because of the love of the money. Somebody out there has loved the money to a point where they're willing to do anything for it. And once you're at that point, man, forget about it. So I absolutely love Matthew's answers. And I'm very disappointed that we are down to the last question. And that is, if there was just one piece of advice for somebody out there listening right now, wants to be in the position that you're in today, Matthew, what would that be?
Wow. There are, I think about my younger self and wanting to go back and talk to him every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of advice I'd give him.
Mm.
But, you know, given the spirit of the conversation that you and I have had today, I think probably the most important piece of advice that I could give to anybody who wants to be in this job is to sit down and resolve yourself to say no to this concept called comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Comparison is the thief of all joy.
Mm.
I look at my Instagram and I look at the beautiful pictures of people I know on vacation in these beautiful places and how happy they are and the new car that they bought and their life on the outside looks so good. And that always leaves me feeling less than. It always leaves me feeling like I'm missing out on something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of that that led me to chase that money, right? That feeling less than.
Mm-hmm.
But see, there's a flaw in this comparison thing. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm doing when I'm looking at my Instagram is I'm comparing what I see on the outside of somebody else's life to how I feel on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And when we compare what we see on the outside to how we feel on the inside, it's not an equal comparison. You have no idea what's going on behind the scenes in that person's life, right? And so if I could go back to my younger self or to talk to the younger folks that are with us here in the conversation today, is you got to say no to comparison. You got to stop comparing what you see on the outside to how you feel on the inside and realize that everybody's got struggles. Everybody's got warts underneath that beautiful smile. Everybody's got challenges behind that beautiful new German sedan they just bought, right? It's not a perfect life. And by no longer comparing myself to other people, what it's done is it's helped me develop this genuine curiosity about other people. It's helped me develop a curiosity about how could I help this person? How could I be helpful to this person? And what that's let me do is it's become my why. It's become, you know, the two most important days I was taught in life, Kojo, are the day I was born and the day I figured out why.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah,
Matthew, Matthew, that's the bio to this podcast. This, you know, this is called the YI Network, and the bio to the podcast is literally the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. That is the bio to the podcast. That's crazy. Absolutely. That you just quoted that.
Well, I saved it for last. I did my homework, Kojo, and that I learned a little bit about you and the people that we're speaking with today. And and when I saw that on your show, on your bio, it really connected in my heart. And I knew I needed to be here. I needed to have a conversation with you because we're not just like-minded people. We're like-hearted people.
Absolutely.
And to be able to really breathe in my why, it's not very complicated. Why I'm here is to be helpful. And I think that's the same for every single person who's in the room with us today. Everybody who's sitting around the table listening to our conversation. We're all here for the same reason. We're all here because we all have a superpower. We all have a unique ability. And when we figure out what that superpower is, then it's up to us to get out in the world and use that superpower to give it away to people to be as helpful as we can. Because at the end of the day, Kojo, we're responsible for creating all of our own wealth. Nobody's going to do it for us. Nobody's going to give it to us. Nobody's going to say, here you go. We've got to do it ourselves. And the way we do that is by knowing what our why is, which is to be helpful to our tribe, to our community, to our people, by using that superpower for good, and then letting the wealth come in. And let me be impossible to misunderstand. I'm not talking about money. That's a part of it. Because I do get paid for what I do. I work for a .com, not a .org. But at the end of the day, my wealth is about fulfillment. It's about feeling like I am part of something. And the key to starting that process is to stop comparing myself to where I think I'm supposed to be by looking at others' lives and then judging myself for it. I like to measure my progress by looking behind me. And I'm not looking at anyone else but me. Where was I a year ago? Where am I today? Have I made progress? And that's the only comparison I allow myself to go down anymore. Where was I a year ago? Where am I today? As much of a team sports guy as I was growing up, I play a lot of tennis now, which is an individual sport, which for me has absolutely nothing to do with the player on the other side of the net for me. It is all about, am I improving my game each and every time I step on the court? Am I improving my craft each and every time I meet with a client? Am I better at what I do today than I was a month ago? That it's all about saying no to comparison.
That is all that matters, folks. That is all that matters. And again, Matthew has been answering these questions absolutely perfectly all interview long. Now, Matthew, it is that time. It is that time that you share with us everything that we need in order to succeed. I'm going to leave the link to the podcast, your podcast, down in the link in the description below. I'm going to leave the link to your book down in the link in the description below. But please shout out everything and anything else that needs to be down there in the link so that my audience can reach yours. Please promote and shout it out now.
Absolutely. So I am a partner and an owner of a firm. We're called Gebhardt Group. We're located here in Northern California. You can find our website, www.gebhardtgroupinc.com. That's G-E-B-H-A-R-D-T Group, Inc., I-N-C.com. I wrote a book based on my own personal experiences called Financial Sobriety, How to Rebuild Your Relationship with Money One Step at a Time. It's available on Amazon.com. And with that book, you know, I was asked a question. If I read your book, what's next, right? If I'm not ready to become a private wealth management client of your firm at Gebhardt Group, how can I get more? And and this is what Jim and I are doing now is we've created a curriculum about financial sobriety, about how to get completely intentional with your money, with your relationship with money, how that becoming intentional in your relationship with money will also improve the intentionality in your relationship with the people you care most about and the most important and sometimes elusive relationship, that one you have with yourself. So that whole curriculum is available through our podcast, which is also called Financial Sobriety. The podcast is available on every major podcast platform you listen to. And it would be great to get some of your tribe, Kojo, that is part of the YI network, to come be a part of the Financial Sobriety tribe, because we're really trying to spread the message that wealth is available to anyone who wants it. Anyone who wants it. It's just a matter of taking a few simple steps to getting it. And for those specifically who are more interested in a career in financial services, I'm going to encourage you to reach out. Hit me up on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. Matthew Grishman, you'll find me. Send me a message. Come to my websites. Listen in on the podcast. I would love to engage in a dialogue about whether this industry is right for you, because I'll tell you, our business is getting old. The average age of people in financial services is in the high 50s. There aren't a lot of young people coming into our industry, but I'll tell you, it is an incredible industry where you get to really have a difference in people's lives, and the ability to create wealth for you and your family. I mean, generational wealth that goes way beyond you and your children is so available in this industry. Please reach out to me through one of my platforms. Let's have a dialogue about whether this business would be a fit for you or not. I'm really grateful for what you're doing here, Kojo. It's great stuff.
Folks, first off, Matthew, thank you. But folks, please hit those links down in the description below. This is called the YI Network for a reason. And Matthew is putting his information out there on the line to share with you. And he's willing to have a personal conversation with you. So please don't miss out on this opportunity. Take full advantage. This is a guy who, again, will transform your life into something that you never even dreamed of. So please hit that those links down in the description below to check out his stuff. Now, again, we have to thank Matthew one more time for coming on the show and absolutely killing this interview. I mean, absolutely killing it. But folks, as you know, there are three types of work: a job, a career, and a calling. Most people have a job. You're lucky if you find a career, but you are truly, truly blessed if you find your calling. And I really hope that me and Matthew helped you find it here today, folks. That is a wrap. If you like today's episode, make sure to follow the YI Network on Instagram for daily quotes from your favorite episodes and more. And if today's podcast helped you in any type of way, make sure not to thank me, but thank God. God put me on the right track at the right time to provide you guys with this content through me. And I pray that this episode helps you align with your purpose so that you too may help others. So stay blessed and stay safe. And until next time, guys.
What am I willing to do to go get it? I push things aside just to go get it. I know my role and I play my position. You talking too much, please learn how to listen. I never give up, I'm not quitting.